Sports.com. Hello there, and welcome to MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. Tim Kearns will be joining me presently. Our producer and engineer, as always, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell, the voice of North Shore, the voice of the North Shore, will have an interview coming up for us during this broadcast as well. We've got a pretty busy schedule tonight I guess it's probably 2 weeks before the season opens, the winter season, but we're getting pretty close. Of course, all the Super Bowls took place over the weekend, so football is officially over. Now, on the website, as you can see, tonight's scheduled guests include Gloucester High School's Director of Athletics, Julie Smith. The Newburyport Daily News sports editor, Mac Cerullo, will be on board. Haven't talked to him yet. Also be checking in with New Beverly High School boys basketball coach Matt Karakoudis. Bill will be talking with Coach Karakoudis. We will talk with Jim McKeever of the North Shore Baseball Umpires Association. And we'll also check in with Tom Sawyer, who's the Lynn Classical High School girls basketball coach, but he's also the man who's been running the Duchesne basketball jamboree for low these many years. And we'll check in with Tom and get a review on Paul Duchesne, what he meant to the area in sports, and what the Duchesne jamboree has in store for us this weekend. A couple of notes to pass along, too, before we get started here. The Rockport Navy Committee is sponsoring a holiday blood drive at the Rockport Police Department, 168 Main Street, Rockport, on Saturday, December 16, 8:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. in conjunction with Mass General. So donors have to be at least 17 years old, 16 with permission. Donors over 65, you're supposed to call 617-726-8171 for special guidelines. I'm not doing that. But anyway, Rockport Navy Committee holding a blood drive, and that is a week from Saturday. And let's see. I'm just trying to see where it says this thing is. Well, Raj, I'm going to have to call you. Raj Alesh sent this along to me at rocknav.com. No, it's rocknavcom.org, rocknavcom.org. Or call Roger at 978-618-3548, 978-618-3548. And I don't see where this thing is going to be held. Bloodmobile, where? Rockport, at the Rockport Police Department. I read it twice, okay. Right at the beginning. Holiday Blood Drive at the Rockport Police Department, sponsored by the Rockport Navy Committee. 168 Main Street, Rockport, Saturday, December 16, 8:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Yeah, I know, Roger. Roger's sitting back there. You read it three times, dummy. And also, the 30th Annual Eastern Massachusetts and Southern New Hampshire College Football Recruiting Night will be held Tuesday, December 5, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Tewksbury Country Club, 1880 Main Street in Tewksbury. Several area colleges and Eastern colleges will be in attendance. All senior football players are encouraged to attend. There's no cost involved to players. So, this is, if you, let me see here, go online to, where is it here? Well, there's a couple of email addresses, but Tewksbury Memorial High School is where you want to go, and you can call 978-640-7825, extension 2004. Again, that's 978-640-7825, extension 2004. And this is the 30th Annual Eastern Massachusetts and Southern New Hampshire College Football Recruiting Night, held Tuesday, December 5, 2017. That is tomorrow, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Tewksbury Country Club. That's at 1880 Main Street in Tewksbury. And you can call 978-851-3599. So if you are a prospective football player for next year, senior in high school this year, head on up to Tewksbury High School for tomorrow. 30th Annual Eastern Massachusetts and Southern New Hampshire College Football Recruiting Night. There you go. All right, so we'll take our first break, come back, and check in with the Gloucester High School Athletics Director, Julie Smith. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. The Kearns has arrived. We've got lots of sports coming up the next hour.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call. 888-283-CASB or visit CapeAnnSavingsBank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Okay, we're back and waiting to hear from the Gloucester High School Athletics Director, Director of Athletics, Julie Smith. That happens sometimes. How are you doing, Coach?
I'm good.
Okay. The non-high school, we got a lot coming up in high school stuff. We're going to be talking with Julie Smith, hopefully. Max Cirullo is the Newburyport Daily News sports editor. We're going to talk with him. Matt Karakoudis, the new boys basketball coach at Beverly High School, and Bill's going to talk to him. And also Jim McKeever, who's the head of umpiring for the Northeastern Conference Cape Ann League. There's a call out for new umpires, so we'll talk about that. It's in all over the papers, I guess.
Yeah.
Tom Sawyer is the Lynn Classical Boys High School basketball coach. The Duchesne Jamboree is upon us once again.
Yeah, it's that time of year, even though the season will start a little bit later than usual on December 15th. Rather than around the 7th or 8th, I will be speaking with the Beverly Girls Varsity Basketball Coach this week. I had a chance to speak with him briefly yesterday before the Beverly Baseball Clinic began. The girls were practicing from 8 to 10, I guess it is, and then we take over the floor until the boys practice in the afternoon. But I ran to talk to him, and I'll also be talking to Chris Silver, the Gloucester Boys Varsity Basketball Coach, this week as well.
Good, very good. I will be up in Newburyport tomorrow night. We'll be checking in with Paul Yameen and the Newburyport High School hockey team. Check in up there, and of course, they have a tremendous program and a legendary program up there. We'll go up, visit to the Graff Rink, and we hope to be doing a game or two. Also be checking in, we're going to be doing our high school previews, our winter sports previews, which we will be beginning tonight. Good Lord, one on the creek don't rise.
You know, it's interesting you should say we're going to be talking to Jimmy McKeever about the umpires. I read the article and I was thinking we should, as a public service, put up a post. Anyone interested in becoming a baseball umpire should contact Jim McKeever and put his number there. So you were actually you're ahead of me on the curve there. On that one.
Well, how about that? How do you like them apples?
Swami of the midways.
Very quick non-high school comment, I think, or at least a quick discussion. Did you watch the game yesterday, the Patriots?
Yes.
All right. What were your thoughts when Gronk delivered his dirty cheap hit?
Like,
you knew it was out of frustration, but I mean...
Of course.
But what a stupid thing to do.
It was funny. He was standing there. The guy's on the ground. He kind of looks around like... Nobody's around me. Oh, the hell with this. And he dove on him.
Then he gave him a forearm shiver to the head.
Yeah, as he went down, he led with the forearm. It was out of frustration. You know, he is mauled, he is held, he is pulled, you know, he is dragged on, he's ridden. And, you know, they call him for a ticky-tack, and even you have a hard time actually discerning an offensive pass interference call. And yet here's this guy running across. He runs across the middle of the field, and the guy's literally the guy looks like Mac Heron holding on John Hanna's jersey behind him. And then he gets up, and he's pushing on him, and he literally pushes him out of the way
to make the interception.
And falls down and catches the ball because it's underthrown. And I'm thinking, they don't call any of that contact. And it's like, you can't be serious. And that happens every time he goes down the field. And
well,
if he got an interference call for every one of his offensive pass interference calls, he probably wouldn't care. But they kind of far outweigh, it seems, the number, and he's tired of getting old. He's trying to do his job. We know the other guys are trying to keep up with him. You know, the small guys can't handle him because of his size and strength. The guys who are as big as he is can't run as fast as he can. You know, I mean, how about that one catch he made where Brady
took it away from him? Yeah,
he goes up and he just bends his body back into the defensive back, reaches over, grabs it, and
takes it away from the defensive back.
My God, what graceful athletic move that was! Yeah. But yeah,
he's got a week to sit it out and think about it now. So
and he'll appeal it, and it may get tossed. He may end up with a fine. But regardless, it was a senseless act.
Well, I think it deserves a suspension, a one game suspension. But on the other hand, it also should be discussed. I mean, there should be some way to bring this to the attention of the officials that, you know, certain players do get special treatment, shall we say, one way or the other. But it's football, and he's always fought through the offensive ones. The offensive interference penalties, I think, are more frustrating to him when he gets called for that. I think the defensive
the guy's interference all over, and he's just trying to create space,
right,
which he is entitled to have. But
a lot of times he's within that 5-yard line of scrimmage, and he's just there is contact, but he's trying to get away.
Yeah.
But to me, that's also smart defensive play. It's like drawing a foul in basketball.
Right.
You know, drawing the offensive foul.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and they know that Gronk is going to get frustrated, and it has gotten to him. It really has gotten to him. And yesterday, I could understand that. I don't understand the cheap shot, but I can understand his frustration.
You can understand if as part of the play when they were falling down, he lashed out. But the play was over, the guy's lying out of bounds on his back.
Right.
And he's standing there looking around going, is anybody looking?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm going to dive on him and no one will see
Let's
me
see,
do
5
it.
Million people and 60,000 people in the stands.
It's like, God, what were you thinking? He just wasn't thinking. He just got lost in the intensity of the moment. And it's not something that anyone should condone, and anyone should look at and go, okay, that's what I'm going to do the next time someone pisses me off on the field. No, you don't do that because there are consequences to your actions.
Well, a little disappointed that we didn't have anybody to go down to Gillette from the high school, except for Melrose from the high school area. And Melrose did the North Shore, if you could call them on the North Shore. Very proud. They did come back with the Division IV title.
21-0.
Yeah. So congratulations to the Melrose
Red Raiders. There were a lot of really lopsided scores.
Yeah.
I think the closest game was the Mashpee game, Blackstone Valley. That was 22-16, and that went right down to
how much did Everett win by? What was that one?
Oh God, that was a lot too little.
That's unbelievable.
They went by, I think, at least three scores.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll see if we can check in with the Newburyport Daily News sports editor, the new sports editor up there, Max Cerullo, and see if we can make contact with him. We're 0-1 so far, but that's that happens sometimes. We'll be right back. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports.
Friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
All right, we're back now. Made connections with Max Cirullo. He is the new sports editor up at the Newburyport Daily News. And, Mac, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Pretty good down here. And I'll tell you, we have to, whenever we meet somebody, by phone or otherwise, and we're interviewing, we have to ask a little bit about your bio. So, Mac, give us a little background on how you end up where you are.
Well, I guess kind of long story short, I've been working for the North of Boston Media Group now for about the last 5 years coming out of college. This is actually my second stint now as a sports guy in Newburyport. I was the sports editor from 2013 to early 2015, and I've been with the Eagle Tribune for the last 3 years. And we had some staffing situation arise, so they decided they had me move back basically just, you know, I was familiar with the area, and was sort of just the best move for the company. So I'm back, kind of just getting my feet wet right now, getting settled in and ready for the winter. That's pretty much the story.
Excellent. Where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to college?
So I was a UConn grad, graduated 2012, recently finished up a grad program at BU as well.
Excellent, excellent. All right, and are you from the area originally?
Yeah, sort of. I grew up in Reading. kind of nearby, but not like super close.
Well, yeah, that's okay. We Tim is very familiar with Reading baseball. We've done some of the Reading stuff. Well, I don't know, Mac, if it's a good time. So what are your plans? What are you doing settling in now? What are some of the things you have to get squared away for you to get comfortable? Because we're between seasons. We're diving right into winter sports now. So what are the things you're concentrating on?
Well, right now I'm knee-deep in the Fall All-Stars and the Winter Previews. So as we speak right now, we're trying to get I think tomorrow's paper is going to have the Field Hockey All-Stars, so you guys can, keep an eye out for that. And then basically it's also been pestering the winter coaches and telling them, send over your rosters, your team info, all that good stuff. So, trying to get those. That's kind of all time-consuming work, but it's good. It's great for record-keeping, and, the kids all like it, so... That's pretty much the story right now. And then once the games start, then we'll settle into that whole rhythm too.
Well, we're hoping to do a game or two or three up there at the Graf, and so if we're over there the same time you over there, we got to get together and get you upstairs with us.
Definitely. Well, I mean, that's pretty that press box you're talking about, right?
I haven't been to the Graf. Is there a press box there?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I wasn't sure if you'd been. Yeah, it's been a couple years for me, but man, that place is cold. Go there for the first time, dress warmly.
Oh yeah, well
honestly, the
Mac,
coldest rink around for sure.
To give you an idea, Rick dresses in a polo fashion for the September football game.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I bring my heater with me, so okay. we're good. I'll be all right.
Okay.
So the guy that's the pile of jackets and sweaters and blankets you see in the press box, that's Rick.
Yeah. I'll have the Apollo Moon suit on. But, Mac, looking back at the fall sports season up in your area, what are a couple of things that are the highlights for you guys? You don't have to give away what you're doing with All-Stars and so on, but in terms of what you've seen, and I know there's been a transition, but what are a couple of things that maybe are highlights? I know Newburyport sports in particular, almost every sport they had made the tournament. They had a terrific year. So what are you looking at?
So full disclosure, I just got started like maybe a week and a half before Thanksgiving.
Okay,
so
never mind.
a lot of this is not exactly the most informed, but I know that Newburyport and Amesbury girls soccer both had terrific seasons. They both reached the state semifinals and generally were excellent. Newburyport, it's obviously, actually, I think both teams reached the state semis last year too.
Right.
So, a couple of great programs has really been rolling the last couple of years. As far as football goes, I know Newburyport had a nice season, and they capped it off with a really, really dominant win over Amesbury. It's like you said, Newburyport collectively had a great fall. And, there's some good performances overall. I give you more specifics, but I can't give you too much more of experience. I can tell you all about some of the Eagle Tribune teams, though. I saw plenty of them this past fall.
Well, would that be the Merrimack Valley?
Yes.
All right, give me a couple.
Andover, Central Catholic, that whole deal.
Yeah, we're familiar with, we know E.J. Perry very well over at Andover, and I know they had a tough year. But so, sure, give me a couple of highlights from up north.
I guess kind of the team that I paid probably most close attention to, because soccer was my main deal in the Tribune, Central Catholic's girls soccer team, like, just unbelievable. Like, you know, maybe the local listeners don't particularly care, but, like, their highlight for their season was they played this team from Ohio, a nationally ranked team called Strongsville. And they had like 700 people come on a Friday night, just like football and everything. And they had played to a 2-2 tie, and it was just crazy. There was probably 4, 5, maybe 6 Division I players on the field. The kind of atmosphere you don't really see so often.
Who are the couple of kids to focus on from Central Catholic who are going on next year?
Elena Grilakis, 3-time Eagle Tribune MVP. She scored, I think, almost 100 goals in her career. I want to say the final total was like 94 or something. Just an absolute beast. Like, she's gonna be a star at the D1 level for sure.
Where's she going?
Providence College. Sorry, I thought I'd mention that.
Well, you probably did, but I've got the memory of a fruit fly here. So now back in your area, now what will be the things? I know that staffing is a problem, both at the Salem News, the Gloucester Times. I mean, Nick Kukru is all over the place, you know, Phil Stacey, Matt. What will be your main focus? Because you gotta cover everything, and that's impossible to do.
Yeah. Well, I have the luxury. I have a part-time person, Marissa Njemi. She's a terrific hockey writer. Probably knows more about hockey in, you know, the various leagues and stuff than anybody. So I expect she'll probably be doing most of the hockey stuff. I covered boys basketball at the Tribune. I plan on generally going, focused on basketball myself with, like, you know, game coverage and stuff. Obviously, it's like you said, we can't be everywhere. So myself and Marissa, neither of us actually live particularly close to Newburyport either, which is not ideal. So we'll do the best we can as far as actually getting the games, but we're gonna get box scores in the paper. That's not something that's typically happened a lot in the past. So just try to get some try to do things, beef up the coverage that way, and we'll hopefully people will enjoy it.
Well, I know you guys will be on the phones a lot. I mean, thank goodness for that. But also, I would suspect that social media is a help also with the Twitter feeds and the stuff coming from the teams.
Yeah, that's a huge help. Yeah, Newburyport's done a great job with that. The new athletic director has really done a terrific job with the social, and the other schools too. Obviously, it's a big help. it really makes a huge difference sometimes.
Well, Mac, if we can be of any help, let us know. And on the other hand, I plan to pick your brain from time to time as to what's going up there, because we're primarily, covering this portion of the Cape Ann League down here a little further south, and we cover the Northeastern Conference. But we like to keep in touch with Newburyport and up county, as they say.
Yeah, sure, definitely. Call me anytime.
Okay. All right, Mac, appreciate it. And listen, good luck. Nice talking with you, and I can't wait to meet you. So we'll look for you at the rink.
All right, thanks a lot. I'll see you later.
Thanks, Mac. Take care. That is Mac Cirillo, who is the new sports editor at the Newburyport Daily News. Not a new sports writer, but a new sports editor at the Daily News, the once and future, I guess, sports editor.
And to all the coaches out there, help them out, call them up at those scores, a couple of highlights, high scorers, people who had real particularly strong games. When I was coaching, again, I probably mentioned before, I whether I won or lost, I called all the papers just to make sure there was, and I mentioned, who was big for my team, but also who was big for the other team, just to make sure. They usually rely on the winning coaches to call in, but it does not always
happen. We had really good success, especially with Mike D'Antonio, who was soccer, the boys' soccer coach at St. Mary's High School. He called in all the reports during the fall. We had a lot of email reports coming in from both Hamilton Wenham and from Ipswich, some from Newburyport, and we're going to try to expand on that this year as well. All the schools out there can email us, and we'll get the scores up at night. I mean, you know, we'll have them on before, as you just heard Max say, it's hard for them to get it in the paper. Yeah. So we can have that. We also have a sports recording phone line, 978-325-3638. 978-325-3638. And you can call in your scores. Anybody can. You can check in with a comment, and, you know, we'll probably get that up if it's a cogent comment. And germane, as they say.
Germane to the task.
There you go. Okay, we're going to leave for a second. We come back. It'll be Bill Newell checking in with the new Beverly High School boys basketball coach. So stay with us. This is MSO News Sports. It's North Shore Sports Night. And after that, a couple more live interviews with Jim McKeever and Tom Sawyer coming up. So lots more to come on this Monday night. We'll be back.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
Welcome back to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Bill Newell with Matt Karakoudis, the new boys basketball coach at Beverly High School. And Matt, welcome back to MSO News Sports. Great talking with you again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Well, the season has, at least the workouts have started. The games haven't started yet. But tell me what the first week was like for you over at Beverly with, you know, tryouts and then practices and so on.
Yeah, well, the first week and first few days of practice has definitely been filled with excitement. The kids are ready to go, and I've been very impressed with their work ethic so far and just their love for the game. So I think everybody in Beverly is very excited to get this rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just for our listeners, tell us a little bit about your basketball background and where you've coached before and so on, and just get us up to speed, and then we'll talk about some more about your players.
Yeah, I came to Beverly, this is my first year here, from Hope John at Everett, where I was a varsity coach for the last 4 years. I was a JV coach for a couple of years before that at Peabody High School, and before that I did some freshman coaching at my alma mater, St. Mary's in Lynn.
Gotcha. Well, tell me what you have for players returning and hopefuls for, you know, the outlook for Beverly basketball this winter.
Yeah, what we have here is definitely a mixed group. We have some very talented young players that we're going to be expecting to log big minutes. We'll have a couple sophomores, that being Duncan Moreland and Jack Crowley in the starting lineup. We have another junior who will be in the starting lineup, Toscani Abreu. And then we'll round it out with a couple senior captains, Luigi Durane and Matt Rodding. And we also have a couple juniors, Kyle Kamara, a transfer, Makai Davies, who just moved to Beverly from Philadelphia, who's a junior, and another junior, Ryan Barra, who will be fighting for minutes. So we have a young nucleus with a couple senior captains. So I think that's going to be a good mix, because we have some solid senior leadership out of those two to help these young guys going forward in the future.
Well, the transfer from Philadelphia rather sounds promising.
Yeah, absolutely. He's his name is Makai Davies, and he's around 6'3", but he doesn't play on the post. He's a wingman that we're trying to get. We're going to utilize him on the perimeter and in the post. We got to get him down low as well. We're not a very big team. We're a small team, but I think we have some nice depth, which is going to help us a lot on both ends of the floor.
Now, I am looking at the league schedule, and I see your first game a week from Friday at Winthrop, but do you play before that in any non-league action? Or
No, we don't. That's going to be the game we open up at, and that is certainly going to be a tough test. Opening up on the road in this conference is tough, and I know Winthrop well because we battled them when I was at Pope John. I know their new coach, Dave Sackle, very well, and they've got a couple all-stars over there. They've got the new gym. They have the new coach. So they're going to be rearing to go. And that's going to be a tough atmosphere to go play in. But we're going to learn a lot about ourselves in that first game. So I do like that.
No, I agree with that. But it probably would be a tough atmosphere because it is all brand new, and they're probably pretty pumped up to start the season themselves. What else can you tell me about the league, Matt? I know you're coming in from outside of the league, but you're following things kind of carefully. What do you think is the top teams here?
Yeah, I would say the top teams that everybody's going to be shooting for is definitely Everett, followed by Glen English and Glen Glasgow. I would say those would probably round out your top three. But I think it's going to be very different this year because nobody's really used to it because it's the first year with the GBL joining us. So we have a 16-team league now where you're playing 15 teams one time. So that's kind of different for everybody where you only see one team once. So you got to make your best out of every shot because you don't get to see them again, So I think that's a little different for everybody.
Yeah, now I know you're in the North Division, which would include Peabody, Revere, English Classical, as you mentioned, Marblehead, Malden, and Everett. Obviously, Everett's not an afterthought there. They're right there at the top as a very strong team.
Then,
as far as playoffs go after that, it really doesn't matter who you're playing, right, whether it's the North or the South Division as far as postseason, or am I wrong on that?
No, yeah, you are correct. It does not matter. As a matter of fact, it's kind of an odd situation. If you want to, when they look for the league champion, even though I'm in the North, whatever team we play in the South, that game counts towards the North champion record. So you can run the table in the North Division, drop a few games in the South, and not win your North Division. So it's kind of odd. So, I mean, all 15 games are going to matter going towards the tournament. So it doesn't really matter where you're going every night. You got to play for the W.
Yeah, I got you. I was just trying to sneak a peek at your schedule. I'm not finding it here. Who are your non-league, so to speak, games are? And maybe they start early, and I'm missing them here. But
We have we host at the end
well,
of the
well,
year.
Well, Winthrop would be one of them that you're starting, right? That's what I'm talking about. The non-North games is what I'm saying here, I guess.
Non-North.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, and then you got Swampscott. I see it here. So you're going to start the season with these teams. I got you here. I'm looking at it now. Saugus and so on. So, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, I got you. Last question, Matt. What about the non-league or tournaments or anything like that on the Beverly schedule this year?
At the end of the year, we host the Board 130 IBO tournament, which is going to be really nice. We host that at Beverly. We open up with Bishop Fenwick in that game. And on the other side of the bracket is Masco and Gloucester. We're going to be playing in Tewksbury's Christmas tournament this year. It's going to be the first time they're running it. And we open up against Burlington, who's a very tough team. So that'll be a solid test around Christmas time. And our last non-conference game is Madison Park. We go to Madison Park. And anytime you got to go to inner city Boston, it's a tough test. So I think we got a pretty tough schedule.
No, sounds tough to me. Matt, anything else I didn't ask you about that you wanted to share with us briefly as a parting shot here?
We're very excited, and I couldn't be happier with the kids that I've received here. They've welcomed me with open arms, and they're working hard. They're certainly ready to go, and we're looking forward to the 15th and going to Winthrop.
You got it. Well, Matt, great talking with you. Best of luck this season. I'm sure we're going to catch up with you soon during the course of this season.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Yep. I enjoy talking with you.
Great.
Matt Karakunis with us, the boys basketball coach, first year at Beverly High School. And I'm Bill Newell, and you're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com.
All righty, Bill. Thank you, sir. Apologize for the trouble with the static there. Don't know what that difficulty was, but we've run into a couple of things the last couple of weeks. Thanksgiving broadcast from Gloucester had some interesting technical difficulties. But anyway, that's in the past, and thanks to Coach Karakunis for stopping by. So what we'll do is take a break. We're going to talk some baseball next.
Baseball, very good to me.
Baseball, there was a Pedro Martinez sighting, I guess, in Boston over the weekend. Is he up for the Hall of Fame this year, or is he already in? He's already in. He's been out for a long time. He's got to be already in. Oh, yeah.
A long time is a relative term.
Well, yeah. But he's been out more than 5 years. I'm pretty sure he's in somewhere. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. All right. Well, I'm casting my ballot for the Moody Blues every day for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
How can they not be in there?
I know. Who? Them? Oh, I know. I don't understand that. But anyway, let's see. Coming up, we have Tom Sawyer. We'll talk about the Duchesne Jamboree and also about his Lynn Classical girls basketball team. And we'll talk some baseball coming up with Jim McKeever right after the break. So we'll be back. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeannsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, we're back now, and we're going to be talking now with Jim McKeever, who is the head of umpires and the commissioner for the Cape Ann League and the Northeastern Conference Baseball Association, Baseball Umpires Association. And Tim,
I'm Tim. He's Jim.
That's Jim. This is Tim. So, Tim, maybe you'd like to talk to Jim about baseball here in this December day.
Jim, we usually have hold our conversations in the springtime. When it's probably about just as cold as it is as it is today. Big article in the Salem in the Salem News about replenishing the ranks, looking for new young guys to get involved in umpiring. Is it at a dire number?
Yeah, it is. It's really got at a tough number. I belong to several different boards: the North Shore Board, the Greater Boston Board, the Greater Lowell, the Greater Lawrence, and this year started really looking at the membership and knowing that I've lost probably a dozen good umpires over the past 4 or 5 years through retirement and even to say death, and looking at the membership, most members were my age and I'm 56 or older that work high school and varsity baseball, and I reached out to a lot of other officials that do other sports as well, and the officials of all sports is really growing old quick, and it doesn't seem like we're getting the young guys to really fulfill and move up the ranks. I have two officials that work the varsity level that are under the age of 35, and that's it. Everyone else is, I'm going to tell you, 40 plus, and most of them are, 50, 55 plus.
What do you think is the reason for the lack of interest on the part of younger guys to join the association?
I think it's twofold. I think it's, believe it or not, I'm going to say, the economy is pretty good. And a lot of people are working, they're not out of work, and they're not, looking for the extra. And part of it is the misnomer of, umpires get beat up a lot. They get argued with, get yelled at, get screamed at. It isn't that way very much. you know, you have your occasional problem here and there, but on the whole, especially in the Northeast Conference and the KPN League, the coaches are respectable, they're respectful, they're all good guys, very little problems over the past few years. But, you know, that with the economy, I think it's twofold. And, you know, the younger guys, I think sometimes the younger guys, as I said in the Salem News, kind of get intimidated. They're afraid they can't break in, they can't come in, they can't do anything. It's just not true. It's easy to become a sports official these days. You know, if you go through the class that we start to run in January by Steve Carroll, if you go to each class every single Monday, it's almost a guarantee that you will pass the test because, you know, the instruction is pretty good.
Can I ask a question? You know, Jim, when I was younger, when I first started in radio, I had some, and Tim and I both taught at Gloucester High School. We had a lot of kids who played hockey and then went off like to North Shore Community College or Salem State, and they went and became officials in hockey because they weren't going to play at Salem State. They weren't going to play, you know, in college, but they could come back on weekends or in the spring and so on, and they could be, you know, even in the winter sports with high school, they could come home and referee games either at Salem State high school games or they could referee games, you know, at any of the rinks around here. And it was like it was like playing sports for them. And when I learned about umpiring, I took a short umpiring course one time, and it was fascinating to me the things that you think you know that you don't know when you become an official. And all that stuff, it seems to me, some of these kids should be eating that up.
Yeah, exactly. And we've had flyers the past few years at Salem State, at North Shore Community, and for whatever reason it may be, we just haven't got the young guys to come out. You know, like I said, I got very few young guys. I got a guy last year that was his first year. He was actually a quarterback up at St. Anselm's. He's from Illinois. He's living out here, working out here now, and he became one of my officials. This was his first year last year. Had a very good season, was very happy, and, you know, he's one of the guys I hope I can move up this year. I try not to move guys up before their time because, you know, I don't want them to get burnt out or, you know, I don't want to put someone in a position that they're not ready to succeed in.
Jim.
And, you know, we've put flyers out at those schools, and we just haven't got the response. And that's why I've turned to the Salem News, and I welcome an opportunity with you guys to really get the word out because there's, you know, a young kid, if I was, you know, 20 to 25 years old, and I had an opportunity to make $300 or $400 a week, I'd jump at the opportunity, doing something I love. Keeping you in a sport that you love. Mm-hmm.
Jim, Little League umpires, are they part of your association as well?
Yes, they are. We're a predominantly big diamond organization, but over the past, you know, I'm going to say 10 to 12 years, we've really migrated to also training and working with Little League umpires. There's an official on the Lowell board who has really taken it over and has really pushed, as we've got a guy on the North Shore board that does the same thing, a Gloucester guy, Orlando from Gloucester. I think he did a regional Little League World Series tournament last year, Joe Orlando, and these guys have really taken over the Little League guys and really trying to help them.
You know, because what I was seeing, because a lot of times, you know, Little League games, they're missing officials, they'll use, you know, some high school kids to umpire the games. Is there an outreach to the kids who they get to volunteer that to maybe offer them the course to take to advance in the umpiring skills?
You know, they can take the class. They can become junior members of the association. We try to keep it 18 and above, you know, because our biggest group is the high school officials, and you need to be able to pass and take a Corey exam. And but we do offer junior memberships. And we, you know, if someone came, and we've got a few young guys that are under the age of 18, and we'll train them, we'll teach them, we'll bring them along, and hopefully that's something that we can have afterwards. But Not a large number at all.
Okay, so let's see. A young guy takes the course. Everybody takes the course. They pass the test. They get certified. You put them on the freshman level first, and then work to JV, then varsity?
Yeah, you know, I kind of treat the freshman and JV as one, because sometimes the freshman baseball is more competitive than the JV. But, you know, your first year or two, you work freshman in JV baseball, and you get evaluated by, I have some senior partners that are working JV baseball that they're varsity level guys that just, you know, they've come to the point that they don't want to work that high of competitive for me. And when someone feels that they're ready to move up, we'll evaluate them, whether it's during the high school season, either myself or I've got about a dozen guys who will go out and watch their games, talk with them, and really bring them along. One of the things that's been discussed as well, we have a young official by the name of Joe Gill out of Lynn. He's the first vice president this year. He'll be the incoming president next year. And he wants to bring back the mentor program. Basically, when you pass the test, you'll get a mentor. And, you know, if you've had a game during the day and, you know, something came up that you're unsure of, you know, that's what that mentor's there for. You give him a call, you talk. You know, maybe the mentor goes to one of your games and gives you some pointers. And it's really to kind of nurture and bring someone along.
Okay. So I was wondering, you know, just what the process was. And it's as I probably suspect, the younger, new guys sort of work their way and work out the kinks on the lower levels. Will you have enough staff for the spring games?
Yeah, you know, I will. And when it really gets highlighted that, you know, we need guys is, you know, when there's a rain outcome. And I'm not sure if you're aware of both the Northeast Conference and the Cape Ann League, as most high school leagues have, and they have a rule in that says, you know, if a game gets rained out on a Monday, you need to play the next available day for both teams.
Right.
And, you know, in the past, I believe there were some coaches that played with, you know, postponing games for later in the year when pitching was a little more favorable. And what they do now is you need to play the next available day. And what happens is, you know, sometimes, you know, you may lose 10, 20 games on a Monday and you have to play them on a Tuesday. And the first precedent, and it's one of the proudest things I have as the commissioner, I've never not had officials for a varsity game. And sometimes because of that, some JV or freshman games go with one umpire, which is acceptable to 95% of all of the ADs. They understand, they get it. But if we had the volume, if we had some more numbers, we would have that.
Yeah, I did the freshman in JV the last 2 years at Gloucester. And, you know, that did happen upon occasion. And, you know, having played as long as I did in Coast, you know, you accept that as part of the reality of the situation, especially at the lower levels. And you help work with the guy. And you know, there might be maybe what you see is a missed call, but you don't say anything because he can't get everywhere to the right angle and make the call. So you live with that. One last question. Do you think for a lot of the younger guys, when they see the helicopter parents hovering over and yelling and screaming at players and at coaches and at the umpires, do you think that it's one of the things is like, I just don't want to deal with all that?
I'm sure that's part of it. I really do. And, you know, one of the things I tell people when I talk to them about it, when I go out to, you know, try to recruit some folks is, at the high school, even the JV and freshmen, it happens a lot less than it does at the Babe Ruth and the Little League. And because there's such, the MIAA has put in such structure and such penalties for people to do things like that you don't get it as much as you do, you know, at the other levels. And, you know, one of the things I've always stressed with, you know, with young umpires coming up, ball strikes, safes and outs, we're all going to end up being pretty much the same. It's game management. How do you handle that situation is what's going to get you moved up to the varsity level quicker than anything.
All right, Jim, what are you promoting now? How do people get a hold of you or the program and get involved in this?
They can get a hold of me, but they can call my cell phone. I answer it unless I'm asleep at 617-285-7425. My email address is cal-necumpires@comcast.net. Or the gentleman that runs the class and who is our interpreter and our rules guy is Steve Carroll. And he can be reached at steve-the-ump@yahoo.com.
All right, so we'll check in with you in the springtime and see how things are going.
Yep, please do. And thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. I appreciate it, and we'll see you all guys soon.
Very good. Thanks, Jim.
Good to you, Jim.
All right, that's Jim McKeever, who is the supervisor of umpires in the Northeastern Conference and Cape Ann League.
That's a great job.
We'll take a break and see. I think that might have been Julie calling, and we'll check in with Tom Sawyer, and we'll try to pull all this stuff together here in a minute. We'll be right back.
NewsSports.com is known for connecting North Shore sports fans with local sports newsmakers. Features on teams and players, exclusive video interviews following the big games, live event coverage such as high school football, basketball, hockey, and baseball, live video coverage of the Gloucester Fiesta. MSO also connects you to the area news leaders, mayors, state representatives, state senators, town administrators, city and town elected officials, business leaders, and more. Entertainment features. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook at MSO News Sports. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Leave a voice message anytime, 978-325-3638. Stay connected to your North Shore neighbors by simply clicking on msonewsports.com.
All right, we are back, and a voice out of the past and the past and the present and the future, Tom Sawyer, who is Lynn Classical girls basketball coach and more, and as important, running the Duchesne tournament once again, the Duchesne Jamboree. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you tonight?
We're doing fine, and it's incredible how fast the school year morphs into football season, and bang, here it is, winter sports. And I got to tell you, this Duchesne thing, it's always great. You know, when we're able to talk with you to promote it, but good grief, it seems like it was just a couple of weeks ago that we were talking about it.
Yeah, it seems like we just put the balls away, and here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are again, going back for our 25th annual Paul Duchesne Jamboree Classical on this coming Saturday, the 9th of December.
All right, let's talk a little bit. I've got the schedule somewhere. I can't find it. I know you sent it to Bill and me, and I can't. It's lost in my email. But before we do that, Tom, remind some of our older folk and maybe some of the new people who don't know about it how this tournament arose, because obviously, you know, we're all familiar with Paul Duchesne, but give us a little background on it.
Yeah, Paul was a great coach and educator on the North Shore. And died tragically, and in his honor, Dick Ruth, who was the athletic director at Lynn Classical 25 years ago, said that well, let's start something to honor his legacy. And so that's how it started, and then I think I took it over probably about, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago now, and it's just been a great event here on the North Shore. It's a great basketball event. The same teams, the same coaches like the event, and I know that because they come back year in and year out. It's a great scholarship fundraiser for us, and then you know, most importantly, it's a way to honor Mr. Duchesne's legacy as again both a coach and an educator.
I think it's an amazing undertaking, and why don't we get to what's going to happen this weekend, and then you know, start with. Maybe some of the schools involved, and we can get into the schedule. But how did you get this thing organized? I mean, is this something that that people tell you at the end of the game on Saturday, hey, include us again next year?
A lot of times, yeah, which is great because that means that they really enjoy the event and you know, they value it from a basketball perspective. So it's really manageable because I go out to the teams that have participated and supported us in this endeavor year after year, and they get the first crack at coming back the next year. And this year we had everybody come back. And because I try to not match up two NEC schools against each other, I had to go out and get some additional games because the NEC has grown with the addition of the four Greater Boston League schools. So we went from 8 games last year to 10 games this year.
Oh, my.
so we got a number of We have 11, actually, Northeast Conference teams, and then the other 9 schools that are in it are either the Cape Ann League or the Middlesex League, and we also have Billerica this year from the Merrimack Valley.
That's incredible. That's just amazing. Now, what do you do for officiating?
The local officials are wonderful. They donate their time year after year. They help us out. They like it, too. They've told me many times. They like it, too, because it allows them to maybe some newer refs give them some a game, you know, without the pressure of a regular season game, that they can, just like the rest of us, kind of knock the rust off and get up and down the court a little bit. So they donate their time, and Fred Forsgaard this year is going to have 3-man crews for 10 games, so that's 30 volunteers, and we can't thank them enough for their support.
Now, what's the format, and does one price get you in for the whole thing?
Yeah, one price gets you in for one game or 10 games, whatever you want to stay for. And when I say games, the MIAA defines a jamboree as a preseason jamboree as a half a game. So when I say a game, we're actually playing 2 8-minute quarters, which is good. I think it really works well. It gives the coaches a chance to see his teams. It gives the fans a chance to see a lot of teams in a short period of time, and it gives, like I said, the refs a chance to go up and down. So when I talk to the coaches who are not familiar with the jamboree, like this year we have Ipswich and Triton in, who haven't been in the jamboree before, I said, this will be the closest thing you'll do in the preseason to a regular season game without a count.
Mm-hmm.
You put the uniforms on, you have a crowd, you have referees, you can't simulate this in practice. You can't simulate this in a closed gym scrimmage. And I think the coaches see the value in that.
What's some of the critiques that you've gotten either from coaches or athletic directors or players after a tournament? Tom, is there anything in particular that has been good advice or something maybe you hadn't thought of that, each year you say, okay, we can tweak it a little bit more and put a little bit more into it? Because, you know, basketball is basically basketball, but this is a pretty unique thing you're doing.
Yeah, it's pretty much been the same format for a number of years now. You know, the one thing that's a little odd is, you know, we're playing a half a game, but we do switch ends at the end of the first, what would really be the first quarter of the game. And that's, from a coaching standpoint, I like that, and I think the other coaches do, because it allows you to put your defense and your offense, have them play in front of you, where you can, you know, help them out a little bit more as a coach.
Hmm.
Sometimes that can be confusing to some of the teams and some of the refs till we explain it, but then they all catch on quickly. So we haven't really tweaked the format too much. We thought about not doing fouls to give ourselves speed up the process, but my concern is if you don't count fouls and you get a close game, then you're going to have a lot of fouls, unnecessary fouls, potentially hard fouls that you just will not make the end of the game as clean as it needs to be.
I can't believe we're running out of time here, Tom, but maybe you could give us a quick rundown of the schedule, where the games are, and what the cost will be.
Yeah, the games are at Lynn Classical High School, so it's, again, this Saturday, December 9th. The first game tips off at 2 o'clock, and then we'll go through with right straight through. The last game, which is Classical in Reading, should tip off somewhere around 8 o'clock. And like I said, we got 20 teams from all over the North Shore. I personally don't have the schedule in front of me either. You caught me coming right out of practice.
That's right, I forgot. I'm sorry. Yep.
We got Ipswich and Triton and Lynn Classical and English, Billerica, Peabody, Hamilton, Wenham. I could go on and on.
I'll find it, Tom.
20 teams.
Yeah, I'll find it. I'm sorry, I forgot you were at practice. That's right. Okay, so listen, my question to you is then, if you're not practicing or playing next Monday night, maybe we could do this again with a review of the jamboree and then talk a little bit about your team.
I'd be happy to do that anytime.
All right, let's book you in then, Tom.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you very much, guys.
Talk to you later. That is Coach Tom Sawyer, who is the Lynn Classical girls basketball coach. That sounds like, do you remember, I don't know if you were around then, but remember the old Lynn Arena? You ever hear of that?
Of course I was around. Are you kidding me?
Remember the hockey jamboree they used to have? But not only that, but regular season games. You could go in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and get out of there at 10 or 11 o'clock at night and see 7 or 8 hockey games for the price of $2.
The old Quonset Hut.
Oh, yeah, that was...
I'll tell you, jamboree, high school jamborees are so much fun. Beginning in the fall with the football jamboree, you played one quarter of football, and it just was continuous, and that
hey
was
folks,
such a blast.
Gerard Moynihan.
I remember going to Manning Field to see that, and then you said the old Lynn Arena just down the street from Manning Field on Boston Street. Watch the hockey, you would go to like Lynn English or Lynn Classical, and watch the basketball jamboree. I mean, it was just... And it's intense because everybody's looking to stake out the territory. Everybody's looking to make a statement about how good they are. No one's trying to sandbag, I don't think, in jamborees. It's I want to go out there and I want to prove a point that you have to fear us. Even though it's only, this is going to be half a game, 2 8-minute quarters, we want to show you what we can do. And so the coaches prep for this, and they want their teams operating on a high level. You know, and you know, match the other team's intensity, it surpassed the other team's intensity. So it serves as a test bed for things you want to do. It's also a way for coaches to evaluate their personnel. They might find someone in that scrimmage there who stands out that hadn't stood out so far in any of their practices or even early scrimmages that they may have lined up. But suddenly, this level of intensity shows what they can do.
I don't think we've gotten your reaction to Alex Cora.
Oh, I like it. I have no problems with it. I think they've done a good job of get his bench coach, a lot of experience there. I remember back when Terry Francona was the manager and Alex Cora was playing for the Sox, and Francona made a comment back then that Cora would one day be a major league manager. He was already aware of Cora's baseball intellect and the way he approached the game. And so him becoming a head coach isn't a surprise. Major league manager right off the bat, maybe a little bit of a surprise. Something the Red Sox says they weren't going to do. They were going to go and get some of the experience. But why go out and get a retread who's been fired by one team or another to take on a team such as the Red Sox?
How about Tony La Russa in the front office?
He's just, now that's going to be an interesting dynamic because you know you've got a bench coach there who's going to be in your ear during the game suggesting things, and now you're going to have La Russa who did as much to change the nature of baseball as anybody in the last 25 years with his pitcher management, where we had, you know, pitcher by occasion with the closer, the setup man, the specialist, you know, and so you run eight pitches through a game. That's all Tony La Russa. He started all of that with St. Louis, and a lot of people, some people don't like all that. But he redefined the role of pitchers in the bullpen and shortening the length of the time that starters go. You know, is he going to be an advisor? Is he going to sit back and watch and make suggestions? Is he going to have real hard input into what gets done on the field with the pitching staff? How is it going to impact the new pitching coach that they'll bring in? I don't know if they've even hired a pitching coach yet. So, what is his dynamic going to be? Is he going to be an observer who'll just go to John Henry and go, well, you know, I kind of see this, you know, and maybe they might want to try this. Is he going to go, well, I think they need to do this. And that's going to change, the whole dynamic between everybody in that front office.
And you talk about rookie managers, Aaron Boone.
Yeah, another guy coming out of the booth, you know. I remember what he did against
Tim Wakefield. Don't bring that up again.
You know, it's like, you know, I mean, we just don't know what his, we all know what his middle initial is, you know, kind of like Bucky Dent, you know.
Yep, going to be fun.
So, you know, I mean, you've got two guys who never managed at the major league level before, taking over two of the most high-profile and highly scrutinized teams in the American League.
All right, we will talk more. Thanks for coming by, Coach. I want to thank Max Cirillo, who is the sports editor for the Newburyport Daily News. Thanks for chatting with us this evening. Matt Karakoudis, the boys' brand-new basketball coach, boys' basketball at Beverly High School, to Jim McKeever, talking all about umpiring. Just heard Tom Sawyer with the Duchesne Jamboree. promoting that. We'll see if we can find the schedule for that. And we'll check in hopefully again next week with Julie Smith. She's the athletic director at Gloucester High School. We'll reschedule with Julie and get some information about what's going on at GHS. We'll also be continuing our winter previews. You've got Beverly girls basketball coming up. I'll be heading up to Newburyport talking with Paul Yameen up there about Newburyport boys, about hockey, and then hopefully get around some of the other schools as well. On behalf of Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell, I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.